together. There are occasions where these rules are not appropriate, so there's, again, some judgment, but this is, in general, how you want to be thinking about it. So I'll always leave a little bit of an exit there. Remember that what is not negotiable today may be negotiable tomorrow. This comes in a few different forms. One I alluded to earlier. Maybe there's not much movement today because they're hiring 20 people just like you, and it's hard for them to differentiate the 20 of you. Every one of you thinks you're better than the other 19. And in their experience, it's hard to tell which one's better, all right? And they definitely don't want to play the game of annoying some people in order to make some people happy. But it may be possible to negotiate those same issues 6 months down the line or a year down the line once a number of things have changed. Maybe you've had the opportunity to convince them that you are different, better, more unique. Or maybe simply they're in a different phase in the employment, so they just happen to have more flexibility. They can do a lot more things once you're one of them than they can do when you're just shopping around. So that's one version of what may not be negotiable today, maybe negotiable tomorrow. There's another version of it. What may not be negotiable on day one during the job interview process may be negotiable on day 30. For example, they make you an offer and they have a deadline. We need to know by November 15th or November 20th or December 4th. And you ask them, is there any way I can get more time? The answer may be no. It may be yes. The answer may be no. Okay, well, that doesn't mean that it's no forever. When somebody says no in a negotiation, what they're saying is no today. No, in parentheses, the way I see the world today. But that same person, as you get closer to November 15th or November 20th or December 5th, may suddenly have the ability to do things they didn't have the ability to do before. So you want to maybe continue that conversation, not in the annoying way of calling them up every day and saying, how about now? What about now? I know you said yesterday, but it's a new day. You know, hope springs eternal. Not one of those. But if they've mentioned to you, listen, you know, we can't change the deadline. You know, we need a certain number of hit rate by November 15th. We may need to make sure that our numbers are looking pretty good. We can't just allow people to have a few more months. Otherwise, we can't go to our second list of folks. Well, maybe by November 10th or 12th, they've already met their numbers. Maybe they have some more flexibility. Maybe other things have changed. So what may not be negotiable today may be negotiable tomorrow. And in a reasonable, understanding way, you can broach conversations again. You're only going to do that if when they said no the first time, you ask them, and can you help me understand why that's hard to do? Now you're in a better position to know, well, what might change those facts on the ground? So that goes back to the learning mindset, number three. They say no, you can say okay. But you can also say, okay, I understand that may be difficult to do. Can you help me understand why that is? Well, that's interesting. In the past, I've seen that some companies are able to do it and other companies are not. Can you help me understand under what situations you can and can't? Have you ever made that kind of a change? All right. Has there been any experience in the last few years or this year where you have managed to allow people to agree later? So explore, understand, figure out exactly what's going on their end. This leads into the next point, which is stay at the table. It's just a mentality. Stay at the table. Don't negotiate and then you're out of there and then there's no communication. Stay at the table. Stay in touch. You never know when you're going to learn more. You never know when they can give you more information. You never know when their constraints change, when their interests change. Stay involved. All right. Don't just check the box. Got that offer. All right. Now let's move on to that next one. All right. Stay at the table. Stay engaged. Get more information. Often what they couldn't share with you before they gave you the offer, they may be able to share after they gave you the offer. What they couldn't share after they gave you the offer, they may be able to share with you once you've accepted the offer. Maybe what they can't share with you after you accepted the offer, they can share with you once you've been working with them 6 months or a year. So stay at the table. Don't just negotiate when it's time to negotiate because, hey, we need to reach a deal on something. Stay at the table with them. Learn as much as you can. As important as it is to come up with a good list of questions that you can ask them and learn as much as you can about where they're coming from, there's going to be times when the other side throws something at you that you were kind of hoping wouldn't be brought up, all right? And the only real solution is to be prepared for those tough questions. And it is, frankly, quite surprising how often people walk into negotiations hoping they don't bring that up, rather than spending a good amount of time thinking about when they bring that up, what's the best way to respond. All right. This could be them asking you, do you have any other job offers? or the company you worked with over the summer, did they make you an offer? And if the answer is no, you're kind of hoping they don't ask. But that's not good enough. Well, what are you going to say? And if you're unprepared, the most likely thing that's going to happen is you're going to come up with something that either sounds like a lie, or is a lie, or is too defensive, or looks like you're just trying to avoid the question. All of those are bad. In most cases, if the question is, you know, do you have any other job offers? And the answer is no, a confident no is not a problem. You're not the first candidate they've ever worked with. Their only reason to hire you is not that somebody else is making you an offer, though I know there's some industries where that plays a much bigger role than others. Prepare in advance to answer the toughest question. Yes, go in with a game plan. All right, here's what I need to learn from them. Here's what I need to ask. Here's what I'm going to ask them to improve. All of those things are great. But think about if you're them. What are the things they could ask that would put you in a slightly more defensive position? And, you know, brainstorm with your friends. Talk to other folks. Say, you know, how should I respond to this in a way that I can do truthfully and convey the information they need and yet not look like I'm a bad candidate? All right. There's a quotation. I shared this with my students early on in the course. I'll mention it here. The story, as I hear it, goes as follows. How many of you know who Mike Tyson is? Mike Tyson? Okay, everybody seems to know. Okay. Mike Tyson is a boxer, was a boxer. A rather aggressive boxer, had a lot of problems. Not particularly the nicest guy you're ever going to run into in the ring or outside of the ring, perhaps. But he was very successful. And at some point he was asked, the story goes, you know, how do you manage to continue to be successful when you have to know that everybody who walks into the ring to fight you has prepared specifically to fight you? You know, they've watched your videos, they've read up on you, they've looked at every little piece of every little fight that you've had. They're coming in specifically with a game plan designed to deal with you. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? And Mike Tyson allegedly said, well, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And then the plan unravels. And that is generally true in negotiations. And it's true in job negotiations. You have a script. You have these great ideas. You already know you deserve it. Now you've even come up with the language to, you know, tell them why you deserve it. You're a likable person. You have a list of questions. You have all these alternatives that you're going to throw out and sprinkle at the right time. You got it. And then they come up and come at you with an angle that you were either hoping they wouldn't say or you hadn't expected. So think about what they might be interested in finding out from you and how you might deal with those things, all right? Okay. When they ask you questions that you wish they hadn't asked, questions like, well, if we make you an offer tomorrow, will you say yes? And you don't like that question because you would like to not have committed to an offer before you've seen it, much less negotiated with other people or to get other jobs. Don't get stuck on what they're asking you. Try and figure out why they're asking you that. Is it because they want to make sure that you can't negotiate and they're going to put you in a corner and get you to say yes, and then once they make the offer, you're stuck? Usually that's not it. Why are they wanting to know? What's going on their side? Did they just say it that way because they're not very good communicators and they're just kind of interested in finding out, are you excited about this job? Maybe that's all they want to know. Maybe they actually have some deadline by which they need to have a yes or no. Well, that's different. Maybe this person really doesn't buy that you're interested in them. All right. So where is it coming from? They ask you a tough question or even not a tough question. Before you launch into an answer that targets what they asked, figure out what world you're in. What is their intent? Where are they going with this? Maybe the answer to the question doesn't even give them what they really need and at the same time puts you in a difficult position. Step back. Can you help me understand where you're going with this? Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, if the question is, you know, how excited am I about this job? Well, that's easy, dot, dot, dot. What do you need to know? You don't have to say yes or no, and you don't have to say yes or you don't have to avoid saying yes or no and look like you're avoiding the question if you engage in a real genuine conversation about what it is that they're after. So what they're asking is important, but nowhere near as important as why they're asking it. Target the why. To the extent possible, avoid, ignore, downplay ultimatums of any kind in both directions. Don't say things that sound like ultimatums. Don't say ultimatums. So not just things that sound like, don't make ultimatums, Don't make them feel like you're making ultimatums. Is that a question? Oh, sorry. Let me finish the ultimatums and we'll go right back to your question. That's a perfectly fine thing to do. People don't like ultimatums. People don't like being told do this or else. Sometimes we present things that sound like ultimatums, even though that's not our real intent. We're just trying to come from a position of strength, and it comes off the wrong way. But it's equally true in the other direction. If somebody says something to you that sounds like an ultimatum, like we will never do X, or under no circumstances can we move in that direction, or that's not possible, my personal advice, my personal approach in those situations is if somebody makes an ultimatum in any negotiation, I just ignore it. I pretend it was never said. And there's a real good reason for this, all right? It's possible that at some point they or someone else will discover that the position they took is going to end up in no deal. And really, they could move if it came down to it. The last thing I want them to feel at that point is I made this big deal about this ultimatum, and now I'm going to lose face by changing my mind, all right? It's easy to get people in negotiations to understand that they've said something they shouldn't have said, or to they ask for something that you can't possibly give them. They've overreached. The hard part is getting them to admit it and change their behavior. They'll only admit it and change their behavior if they can do so without looking stupid or silly or losing face. If they make an ultimatum, we'll never do this, we can't do this, I don't make them repeat it. I'm sorry, did you say never? Under no circumstances? Are you sure? No, that's irrelevant. The most I might say is, oh, I can see how that might be a difficult thing for you to do. Now let's talk about X, Y, and Z. Ignore it. Now, if it's a real ultimatum, if they really cannot do it under any circumstances, don't worry, they'll repeat it over and over again. You don't have to make it a thing. Let them make it a thing if it's important. Often people will say things in the heat of the moment, out of frustration, because they're busy, because they didn't think it through, in a way that could trap them and you in the corner. And what you don't want to do is fuel that fire. Just get out of the way of those. Just move out of the way. Okay, your question, sir.
Sorry to speak.
No, that's okay. No, there are no turns.
Going
there's
back
only,
to the question about trying to discern intent and answer intent,
yeah.
Are you recommending that we try and keep that in mind as we passively process a question, or should we actually ask a question back regarding the questioner's intent?
Well, obviously there's no one right answer to every situation. That idea, which is actually not so different from idea number 3 up there, which is trying to learn as much as you can at every moment, could happen before they've asked you the question. They ask you the question, you're not exactly sure where they're going, so you ask for a clarification. Maybe you start answering it and then realize, you know what, I've answered it, but I'm not exactly sure whether they liked my answer, didn't like my answer, got what they needed, they kind of nodded along. Well, I can ask the clarification now. At every point, if there's something you don't understand, if there's something that's ambiguous, if something surprises you, your goal should be to investigate. All right, that's the learning mindset. That's the thing you walk in with. Anytime anybody says anything I didn't expect, or I think is a little bit strange or ambiguous, the number one goal is, let me figure out what game I'm playing. What world am I in? And I don't mean game in a sort of, it's a game, us versus them, but what kind of situation am I in? All right, the better I understand the situation I am, the more wisely I'll deal with that situation. So yes, sometimes a clarification is important. Sometimes it puts you in a situation where it seems like if I don't say yes or no, no matter what, it's gonna sound like I'm dodging the question. There's an example. Somebody once wrote a paper on this. I thought it was kind of a silly thing to write a whole paper on because it's a very small point, but it was a really interesting point. How many of you watch Star Trek? Any of you watch Star Trek? Okay, I don't really, but the story comes from Star Trek, The Next Generation. And who's the head guy, Picard, or all right. Anyway, so apparently he's on some alien planet, as he tends to be. And, he's gotten into some trouble, and he's being he's brought in front of this court. And it's sort of a kangaroo court. They're going to convict him, and they're going to kill him. All right? That's what it looks like. Of course, he doesn't die. That's spoiler alert. Anyway, they bring him into this courtroom, and he's prepared to make his defense and his argument. But he knows this is kind of silly. And at some point, the judge says to him, now, I'm going to ask you a question. And if the first word that comes out of your mouth is not yes, I'm going to have these people shoot you on the spot. And then he says, so, and the question is something like, are you guilty of crimes against, humanity or something, just, and he's like, well, that's it.